You know, Easter is the most celebrated day on the Christian calendar. And it's because of the crucifixion and the subsequent resurrection that we are followers of Jesus Christ. The resurrection got people's attention. Divine science celebrates the resurrection. But we all know that in order for there to be a resurrection, there must have been a crucifixion. You cannot pretend to resurrect that which is already vibrant and alive. And this reality, this indisputable fact, presents a conundrum for many students of metaphysics, leaving many to believe that metaphysics provides an exemption from law. It does not. There are all kinds of questions and theories being floated about the reality. They said if Jesus was crucified, what good was Christ's consciousness? If he had the power to stave off the crucifixion, why didn't he? Why did he suffer? Implying that if there was a crucifixion, if the Christ can be crucified, it is not the invincible power that we believed it to be. After the resurrection, Jesus addressed this issue, asking, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? You see, even today, we talk about Christ's power, but if we never experience its power in our lives, what do we know about it? And of what use is it to us? The questions and theories regarding the cross, the centerpiece of Christianity, occur because we are trying to judge a spiritual experience with the human mind. There is the belief that Jesus did not have to be crucified. He could have circumvented it. True. But we must remember that after his ride into Jerusalem, before he was arrested, Jesus prayed a prayer to the Father, which ended with these words, not my will, but thine be done. You see, we cannot say in one breath that Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and in the next breath suggest that he circumvent the Father's will. And he plainly prayed, thy will be done. As we follow the events of the Holy Week, we see no fear. We see Jesus determined to fulfill prophecy, not according to the human mind, but according to spiritual law. The only time we hear a shred of doubt, according to Matthew and Mark, was at the ninth hour when Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew what Scripture said, and he quoted Scripture throughout his ordeal, but he did not know exactly what it meant. He did not know exactly what to expect. He didn't know what it felt like. That takes experience. See, this is true for all of us. We know Scripture, but we don't know exactly what it means until we experience it. So today, let's take a closer look at the progression of consciousness. You see, we all come into this world with God consciousness, being inwardly aware of the truth. Yet, in order to learn the world, Even as Cain slew Abel, we allow our inner understanding to die. We learn early on that we cannot, what we know within is not what we're experiencing out here. They're not the same thing. And we realize that we cannot live both within and without simultaneously. You see, even as children, we knew that our inner knowledge and our outer perceptions were not the same. They never brought us to the same conclusions. Have we forgotten? At Christmas, we celebrate a rebirth. The truth being born again, being illuminated in consciousness. This illumination reawakened the truth within us. And during the illumination, the truth which we allowed to languish as children while we were conforming to the world is reawakened. And this experience reveals a dimension of consciousness beyond the human mind. And we call this reawakened understanding, the Christ. The Christ, however, is not the innocent truth that we had as children. The Christ is truth with wisdom. The Christ is truth with strength and courage. The Christ is the power to overcome the world. You see, we believe that with the Christ mind, our lives will be perfect. And we are led to believe that that perfect life agrees with our human mind. We are believed that that perfect life inflates our ego. We are believed that that perfect life will make us smart. But the Christ, that mind expressed through Jesus, is the strength to bear all things and the knowledge to endure. The Easter story is about victory. It's about overcoming. It's about triumph. And this is what was going on. The multitudes were fetting Jesus as he entered into Jerusalem, singing Hosanna. You see, at Christmas, angels from on high, from another dimension of consciousness, sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now at Easter, multitudes on earth are singing Hosanna. The multitudes are our hopes and dreams, which we feel, which we believe are going to be fulfilled. And they're singing, celebrating, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It's a celebration. Can you imagine the celebration? Then we read that some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, saying, Master, rebuke your disciples. And he answered them, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the rocks, the stones would immediately cry out. You see, Jesus is saying, this is not just noise, this is power. This is a power that can't be thwarted or denied. Now, we all like, well, we don't like the idea of the cross and the crucifixion, but we experience it. In fact, our nearest and dearest dream is to escape adversity altogether. We are always hoping to learn the spiritual laws that will say that no evil shall come nigh thy dwelling. Yet all that we know about the Christ All that we know about God, all we know about the Christ mind, is about its inherent ability to overcome adversity. You see, when we describe the Christ mind, it is that presence, that mind which sets captives free, which changed water into wine, which gave sight to the blind, raised the dead, calmed the seas, fed the hungry, and healed the sick. This is all about overcoming adversity, not escaping, but overcoming. Jesus didn't like the idea of the cross and crucifixion either. In fact, he prayed to the Father for an exemption from that consciousness. We would all like to be exempt. And Jesus ended his prayer by saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." You see, we all know what we need to do in theory, but we have difficulty living it. When life puts us into situations where we need to realize the strength of the Christ mind, rather than abiding in the truth, we say, perish the thought, and go about doing the things that we know how to do with the human mind. Yet, we talk about wanting to change our lives and surrendering to God, and we really want to. But we have neither the ability nor the courage to change our lives. Changes come as a result of consciousness, and consciousness changes according to life. We frequently speak of humility, yet the humility we speak of is merely a subterfuge of the human ego. True humility is provided by life itself. If we are sincere in our quest for spiritual understanding, life will humble us. Life itself will humble us. You see, the cross requires complete surrender to God. This is the significance of the Easter message. It's about life delivering circumstances and situations in our lives that change them. Changes that are too difficult to bear mentally, forcing us to surrender totally. That's what the crucifixion is about. Let's look at what happened when Jesus totally surrendered to the experience, saying, "It is finished." Now, according to Matthew, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were split, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves. But we're talking about consciousness. That experience, which changes your life, whatever it is, signals the demise of the human mind in your awareness. It shuts the ego down, and it leaves the intellect speechless. It is finished. That experience, whatever it is, humbles you, forcing you to be still. It forces you to acknowledge and recognize a power beyond your intellectual comprehension. You see, it's life that humbles us. Life puts us in a place where the ego cannot be fed. Life puts us in situations for which the intellect has no theory. This is the tomb. There is stillness. In the tomb, in the absolute silence of the human mind, spiritual awareness is resurrected or raised to the level of conscious mind. Our access to the Father, our access to God, no longer requires a completely separate awareness. Because the veil of the temple has been rent in two. Now we can see with that mind. Now we hear with that mind. And we understand with that mind. See, it's because of our own experiences that we now move and live with compassion. It's through our own experiences that we attain the strength to bear and the knowledge to endure, and that we realize our image and likeness to God. The law of God is now active in conscious mind. The law, the Lord, is risen. Now remember Jesus' prophecy when he was coming into Jerusalem, and they asked him to silence his disciples. And he told them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Well, the stones did cry out. The stones cried out at Jesus' crucifixion. In fact, they cried so loud, they created an earthquake. You see, the crucifixion was not an attempt to only rebuke the disciples who praised him, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. The crucifixion was also an attempt to rebuke Jesus. And the stones cried out. The earth did quake, and the rocks split. You see, the earthquake shifts the components of awareness. Many beliefs that we thought were set in stone are broken up. Consciousness is shaken, bringing to memory long forgotten ideals and spiritual laws, bringing to life spiritual understanding which we sought with the human mind. And many of the saints which slept arose and came out of their graves. The Lord, the law, is risen indeed. Now here's the paradox. That experience which we most wanted to escape is the very experience which revealed to us the law of God and the understanding that we seek. It's during this time when the ego is totally bruised and the intellect is stumped that we gain the most clarity and spiritual understanding. The answers are always within us, but we hope to get them by skimming the surface of religious life. We hope to get them by learning platitudes and citing scripture and quoting other people. But spiritual life is much deeper than that. It is within us. It requires a giving of ourselves. As the Christ said, he who saves his life shall lose it. But he who loses his life, who surrenders for my sake, shall find it. The Christ is the spirit of truth. And spirit is something that we feel within us. We must be mentally still enough to recognize what we are feeling. And we must develop a confidence for what we feel inside. As we consistently turn within for answers, slowly but surely, the Christ will be resurrected to conscious mind. He is risen. Now we know, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Is it not worth it to experience the invincibility of the Christ lying within you? Is it not worth it to know for certain that the Christ mind within you is the power to overcome all things, anything, and everything in this world? You see, it was through the experience of the crucifixion and the resurrection that Jesus realized, I have overcome the world. It was the resurrection experience which prompted the Christ to realize, hey, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so it is. Let us now take a moment to reflect on the Easter message, rejoicing in the knowledge that the Father never leaves us. We are never forsaken. There is never a place where there is no God. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy right hand lead me. You from every condition encountered in this world, regardless of what you may be going through. Know this, that your resurrection is as certain as was the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Because the substance of your being is the same substance, the presence of God. Let us abide in it. The presence of God bless thee and keep thee. The presence of God makes his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The presence of God resurrect the Christ mind in thee and give thee peace. Amen. Please stand.